Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are thinking together in studies from the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, as I've pointed out before, was one of what we call the travel epistles. It was written during Paul's missionary journeys. In fact, this one was written just at the end of the first missionary journey. And then besides this, you're going to have 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you're going to have 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll also have the book of Romans. And these are all epistles written as Paul traveled throughout the Roman Empire, both in Asia and also in Europe. And as these epistles were written, Paul was beginning to deal with certain needs, very urgent needs, in the lives of these Christians in the churches he had established. For instance, in Corinthians, he's dealing with something like 13 different sins that the Corinthians had committed. Some people think it's only 12, but I just found another one in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. When he writes to the Romans, he has not yet been to Rome, but he is dealing with possible sins that these people have committed and some of the doctrinal problems they face. In this first epistle of Paul, written in 48 AD to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a very, very serious error, and this error has persisted even to this day. Now, I want to make it very clear about the law, but the error concerned the law, and it concerned their following of the law as a means both of being saved and also of living their Christian lives. But I want to make it clear, I said, about the law. The Bible makes it very clear that the law of God was from God Himself, and it was a holy law. It had a good purpose. Its purpose was to be fulfilled in the Jewish nation. And the law, of course, stands as an example of the holiness and the righteousness of God Himself. And so the law itself is not at fault. But the problem was that these people were applying the law first to salvation and then to the means of living the Christian life. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul is having to attack this problem. Now, as I pointed out before, this problem began very soon after Paul returned from his first missionary journey. On the first missionary journey, he had visited these areas of Galatia. He had gone to four different major cities. He had gone to Antioch, Pisidia, he had gone to Iconium, he had also gone to Derbe and Lystra. These were cities in southern Galatia. He was not able to spend very much time in these cities because he was under intense persecution. And so he would be in these cities a few weeks, there would be a few converts, and he would try to instruct them just a bit in the Christian faith after they were saved, and then he would be forced to leave. And then on the way back to Antioch again, as he finished this first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul appointed leaders in these churches. These people, however, had problems. First of all, they were very, very young Christians. I've tried to point this out before, the danger of young Christians being led astray. And so they were very young Christians. Paul had had very little opportunity to build them up in the faith. They had no New Testament, such as we have today, that they could read and study. They had only the teachings that Paul himself had given them. And of course, they had the indwelling Holy Spirit, if they had been listening to his teaching. And then also, the leaders that were appointed were also untrained leaders. They had no Bible Institute in those days. He simply took the most mature people in every place, and then he would appoint them as leaders in the church. The problem was that these leaders were not able to defend the faith. And so, very cleverly, there were people who came into these churches after Paul had departed. They were Jewish people. And they came into these churches, we call them the Judaizers, because they were coming into these churches trying to teach these people that the faith that Paul had spoken about was good, and it was also good to live by faith, but in addition, the law would help them go to heaven and would be the means of living their Christian lives. In other words, they would live their Christian lives by the hundreds of little precepts of the law. And so even though they were mostly Gentiles, they were to be like Jewish proselytes. They were to be under the Jewish rule, and they were to be people who would follow the law of Moses, and they would prove to God that they were truly righteous by following the law of Moses. Now, in chapter 1, which we've already discussed at some length, the Apostle Paul had to attack this teaching. He had to show them that they had departed from the faith, and that the gospel they were following was not really the gospel at all. It was a gospel that he had taught was a gospel of salvation by grace through faith alone, and Christian life by the work of the Holy Spirit. This will be revealed in chapter 5, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. And so the Apostle Paul is having to attack very strongly these false teachers, and he's having to show these people they need to get back to the true gospel again, the gospel of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in him alone and his finished work. Now, a passage of Scripture that I have used again and again on these broadcasts is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And these verses say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This passage is very, very clear that it's the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only means of salvation by which we are saved. And then again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me give that verse again. "Therefore, being justified by grace," and of course it's through faith, "therefore, being justified by grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So when we come to the Lord Jesus, we come to the Lord Jesus by the grace of God through faith. So we come to him alone by faith. And we are justified before God. We have righteousness before God on the merits of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, as we've come now to chapter 2, we notice that Paul has taken his first journey back to Jerusalem to consult with the apostles there. He had been there very briefly. He had talked to Peter just 3 years after he had been saved, and then he went away for a long period of time. And now with Barnabas, probably in about 47 AD, he goes back to Jerusalem again to consult with the leaders there. This is going to be one of two major visits he would make to Jerusalem. The second one would be in 50 AD. He goes just before his second missionary journey. And this first one would be in 47 AD. And they had two different purposes in these two journeys. The first journey in 47 AD is simply to be recognized by these apostles as an apostle. In other words, Paul was called by God to be an apostle, and now he goes there to be recognized by them and to receive their blessing, and also that he might minister to the Gentile people. And so on this occasion, and it's found in the first part of the second chapter of the book of Galatians, he receives their blessing, and of course Peter receives their blessing as the apostle to the Jews. So these two men are appointed by the Holy Spirit, of course, but also they're giving the blessing of the apostles there in Jerusalem. Now, on the second journey, he's going to be dealing with this major problem concerning the law. I don't want to get into this today with you, because we've discussed this just a little bit before, but also because I want to take some other things first. On this first journey, the Apostle Paul has been recognized as the apostle to the Gentiles. And of course, he's preaching a certain message and is using a certain method in reaching the Gentiles. Now, as we come to the second part of chapter 2, and I want to read some of these verses, beginning with verse 11 of chapter 2, I want to read these verses. "But when Peter was come to Antioch," now this probably happened in about 48 AD, "when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Peter now has come up from Jerusalem. Paul has already received in early 47 AD, at the close of his first missionary journey, he's already received the blessing of these elders there at Jerusalem and has been blessed to continue his ministry to the Gentiles. But then some of the believers there, some of the leaders perhaps, like James, the half-brother of Jesus, still had doubts about the message that Paul was giving. When he introduces us a little bit earlier, he mentions this, and he mentions now that Peter had come. Verse 12, "Before that, certain came from James," that's James, the brother of the Lord, the half-brother of the Lord, "before that, certain came from James, and he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now James had sent people up to investigate Paul. James still believed a little bit that you had to follow the law, even though we were not under the law anymore. You still had to follow the law in your Christian life, and even salvation would be kept and assured of if you followed the law of Moses. And so he sent people up to investigate, and these people were leading the people of Antioch astray. Most of the people in Antioch were not Jews, they were probably Gentiles. And so they were being led astray by these people who had been set up by James. Now Peter has come. And Peter felt very free with the Gentiles until these people came from Jerusalem. And then he became a little bit afraid. Perhaps he had slight doubts about justification by faith alone. Some believe this might be true. I personally don't hold that view. I believe that Peter was a sincere, born-again Christian, and he had no doubts concerning the faith, but he lived in fear of other people. And this is the danger we face today in taking a stand for the Lord. You may face this danger in witnessing to unsaved family members for fear that you would be alienated from them and they themselves would no longer care for you. Or you may have this same fear in witnessing to your workmates, your schoolmates, if you're a young person, or your neighbors, whoever they might be, simply because you're afraid of what they might think. And so Peter, we're reading this now in verse 12, withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Apparently many of the Jewish people in the church there in Antioch also were carried away, even though they had received the message that salvation was by grace through faith alone, and that living the Christian life was also going on in grace, the grace of God by the Holy Spirit. Even though they had received this message, they too, like Peter, were afraid of what the people from Jerusalem would say and what they would think. So they were carried away. And then, to our surprise, even Paul's companion and the one who had mentored Paul very carefully was also carried away by this dissimulation, he calls it, by this struggle that they were going through. So even Barnabas was carried away. And this is a surprising thing, because Barnabas, for months and several years, in fact, had traveled with Paul throughout Galatia, preaching the truth to the Gentiles of the grace of God and salvation by grace through faith. And so even Barnabas had some doubts in his mind concerning this thing. And the reason was because he was afraid of what they might think. And this fear can afflict any one of us. And so Paul now, verse 14, well, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews live? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no person or no flesh be justified. I want to stop our reading right there for now. We'll continue this passage in another message, but I want to stop this just for now. I want to say several things about this. Paul now is confronting Peter. I may have to deal with this in the next lesson. But he's confronting Peter very openly before everybody. This must have been a very humiliating thing for Peter himself, because Peter was a leader, and he was a respected leader. And Peter was a man who was an apostle. Paul was a new apostle. Peter had been an apostle those 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus. He had faithfully followed the Lord and preached the gospel long before Peter, long before Paul, that is, had even been saved. Paul was saved at least a year after Pentecost, after that second chapter of the book of Acts. Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. It's got to be at least a year to a year and a half later. And so it must have been a very humiliating thing for Peter to be publicly rebuked by Paul before many, many people. Paul says here, I rebuked him before them all. In fact, he did it in such a way that everyone there would know that Peter had gone astray. And this was a very important thing for Paul to do, but it must have been difficult for Peter. Now, in the next lesson, we're going to be asking the question, why would Paul do such a thing before others? Out of respect for a man like Peter, should not Paul have addressed him privately, perhaps, and simply corrected him as a loving brother? And why did he rebuke him in front of everyone? And so we're going to be answering this question and the answers that Paul gives, in fact, to the problem of Peter. If Peter had any doubts or if Peter was afraid, Paul now in the next verses, clear down to verse 21, is going to explain to Peter the truth of the gospel. And the truth that Peter himself is to not only believe, which we believe he did, but he's also to stand by completely. Now I want to close this lesson with several observations. And the first observation is this. There are many, many people today who are being led astray by false teaching. It may be in a church, and I want to say this very, very respectfully. Sometimes people are very, very religious. They follow their religion very, very strictly. Even daily, sometimes people will go to a church. They will pray. It could be to our church. It could be to somebody else's church. They'll go to that church. They'll pray. They have followed all of the instructions of the church itself. They are very, very religious people. But the problem is, apart from salvation by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are still lost in their sins, no matter how religious people might be. If it is Jesus plus anyone else, Jesus plus anything else, Jesus plus the church, Jesus plus my baptism in our churches, or anything else, if it's Jesus plus anything, that is not salvation. I want to remind you again, and I've done this in almost every lesson, the Lord Jesus himself stated very clearly, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This means that Jesus alone is our means of salvation. And I would urge you, and I'll be speaking more about this along the way, I would urge you, if you are a very religious person but lost, I would urge you in your heart to put aside everything you've ever depended upon for your salvation. Your church, your sacraments, our baptism and our church, whatever it might be, put these things aside and come to the Lord Jesus alone. Don't pray to anybody else. Come to Jesus and say to the Lord Jesus, "Dear Jesus, please, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. Please come into my heart and forgive my sins and save me from my sins." Now, according to the teaching of the Scriptures, he that believeth on the Son has life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God lives on him. And this is John chapter 3, verse 36. So I would suggest this too. And then one other suggestion I want to leave with you before I close. That is, if you're not reading God's Word, get into the Word of God itself. I'm not asking you to simply believe what I say, although I'm speaking from the Word of God and I'm trying to adhere closely to God's Word. But don't simply believe what I say, but go to God's Word and read and study God's Word. Many times we're led astray because we're listening only to men. We're listening only to people. We listen only to leaders. But we need to go to God's Word because God has a perfect answer for every need, whether it's in salvation or in the Christian life. So go, for instance, and this is my suggestion, go to the Gospel of John and study that book. Go through it chapter by chapter, seeking with the help of God to understand that book. It tells everything we need to know concerning the Lord Jesus, who he is, what he has done, concerning the salvation that he brought, concerning how I need to come to him, and then what will happen to me after I'm saved. Now, I need to close this lesson, but I want to leave with you this warning that Paul is going to give to Peter here in chapter 2 of the book of Galatians. Follow with me closely day by day. Have a notebook handy. Have your Bible handy so you can read with me from the Bible as you study with me. May the Lord bless you and help you in the understanding of his word.